We're going to be turning to Romans chapter 7 this morning and just sort of applying this to our scripture passage. And before I do, I just would say that if any of you are interested in any kind of mission projects, you can join together with some out at New Burlington who go to the Boys Club July 9th. And they're going to be serving meals there, and you can help prepare meals. Let Kathy Hunt know, or me, and then also Second Harvest Food Bank on Wednesday, July 9th. And they'll be out there from about noon till 2, and we can join them and participate together. But last week, we began to look at Wreck-It Ralph. We began to look at some of the lessons that we can hopefully apply from that. And we talked about how Wreck-It Ralph was wanting to be accepted, and he sought out a medal. But Wreck-It Ralph was one of those movies from 2012 that was one of the highest animated films of the year, the best animated film of the year. And it's a film that really has touched my heart in so many ways. It's just fun to watch. And I've encouraged you to maybe go out and rent it or buy it or whatever it might be. But we have Fix-It Felix, we have Wreck-It Ralph, we have all those sorts of things that are a part of that. It's just a fun film. But it's one of those things where I said last week that sometimes we think that when you turn off the video game or when you leave the video arcade that the video characters are dead and gone. Well, they're not. They're actually still there, according to the movie. I mean, we go home, we work, we go to sleep, we go out and play, we do all those sorts of things. And it's the same thing that's true for the video characters. When you quit playing the video game and turn off and leave the video arcade, friends, the game is still alive. And they just go to Game Central Station and they have fun. But all the bad guys, they head off to what is called Badanon. And Ralph is sitting in Badanon, the group of meeting where all the bad guys come, a little bit like Alcoholics or Gamblers Anonymous. And he's sharing with the group, and he really appreciates Fix-It Felix. Fix-It Felix is really nice. He's a nice guy. And all the Nicelanders are nice people. They're the ones who live in the apartment building that he wrecks. But he really is frustrated about living in the dump or the brickyard outside of town. And so when he comes home, he comes to the brickyard, and everybody else is over at the apartment building. They're having a great fun, and he's over there at the brickyard all by himself. And the problem is more than he can bear, and he's really having problems with the fact that he was designed to be the bad guy. I mean, he's been hardwired to be the bad guy, and he doesn't really like being the bad guy, and he wants to be a good guy. And so Wreck-It Ralph tells the Badanon people, the bad guys at Badanon meeting, that he's tired of being the bad guy, he wants to be the good guy. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever tried to be better, but you continue to wrestle with your badness? It's a sort of a scary place to be, whether you're a video character like Wreck-It Ralph or whether you're a human being like all of us here this morning. I don't think we have any video characters among us, right? Okay. We all have this badness within us. And have you ever failed in your life? You want to be good. You want to be, you know, like everybody else, but apparently you've been classified as the bad person. And you're dealing with this stuff within you, and you can't seem to overcome this stuff. And we are told by the world, just like Ralph was told by one of the video characters, you can't mess with the program, Ralph. You can't mess with the program, Ralph. That's just who you are. Accept it. You can't mess with the program. Well, Ralph tries to change it. And, of course, he goes, in many ways, turbo. And he leaves his Fix-It Felix game, heads off to another high-definition shoot-'em-up game because he wants the medal. And we talked a little bit about that last week as he pursues the medal. He gets the medal, not in the right way, in order to be accepted. But what Ralph does is what many of us do in our own life. And really, God just sort of spoke to me when Ralph is wrestling with all of this and with his own identity and this idea of acceptance. And it's this: I really don't need to know as much who I am as I need to know who Jesus Christ is. It's not so much my identity as it is knowing the identity of Jesus, because you remember the verse that we had last week that we ended with, we are accepted in the Beloved. I find my identity in who I know Jesus Christ is. So my identity is found in Jesus Christ. But let's go back to this here, because there are several ways that we, like Ralph, try to change ourselves. Ralph wanted the medal. Ralph wanted to be the good guy. And so he tries to be the good guy, and it seems to fail all the way through the movie. But let's look at this. Sometimes we try to change our environment change our lives by changing our environment. And this is so true. Now, I want you to understand this today, that it's true. Our family, our community, our school, all the way we live, all of that has an effect upon our life. You know, the way we are raised, the community in which we live, the school that we attend, all that plays a part in our life. But you cannot change who we are, and you cannot change from being a bad guy to a good guy by merely changing your environment. And yet our world teaches us if you can just change your environment, then everything will be, you know, great. I think about, of course, Adam and Eve, and Drew, who was sharing with the Bible school last week, shared about Adam and Eve, and it's so appropriate because Adam and Eve were a perfect people, a perfect couple, in a perfect environment. And just this past week, when it was so hot and humid outside, I got to thinking, how would it be to live in the Garden of Eden? So cool, man. I mean, think about this. Over here, everybody loves 75-degree temperatures. Over here, everybody loves 85-degree temperatures. And I got to thinking about this. Everywhere you walk in the Garden of Eden, it's 75 for you and 85 for you. Perfect food, perfect weather, perfect everything, no mosquitoes, absolutely perfect environment. And yet Adam and Eve fall prey to the lie of the adversary, just as, remember Vanellope van Schweetz that we talked about last week? She believed a lie. She believed that she was a glitch, an accident. They believed a lie, and they went astray, and they destroyed everything that they had. Perfect people, perfect couple, perfect environment. They blew it all. I think about, of course, Luke 15, the prodigal son. And one day he came to his dad, and he was the younger son. We have the older son. He would receive 2/3 of the inheritance, and the younger son would receive 1/3 of the inheritance. And he came to the son, the father one day and said, "Dad, I'm tired, sick and tired of working on the family farm. I don't want to live here any longer. It's just plain. I don't want to live. Dad, just drop dead. Give me my inheritance. I'm splitting the joint." And so his dad obliged, he gave him the inheritance, and off he went trying to find the perfect place to live, found himself living in wine, women, and song, and then eventually in a pig parlor or a pig squalor, and finds himself at the end of the tunnel. He can't really live, and he finds himself in this predicament. We try to change ourselves by changing our environment, but we can't do that because the problem is more than our environment. The problem is right here in the human heart. We cannot change the human heart by changing the environment. Secondly, we try to change ourselves by digging up the past. You know, we have this therapy where if only I can dig up the past, then I can find out what's controlling me and what masters me, and I can deal with it. I can be healthy, and I can be new, and I can be good once again. But if there was anyone who was a candidate for digging up the past, it would have been Joseph. And think about Joseph from the Old Testament. Here was Joseph. He was hated by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. He was betrayed by an officer's wife, put into jail, forgotten about in jail. I mean, he was just one bad case after another one. And yet Joseph learned that wasn't merely by digging up the past and going through this kind of therapy where you bring up the past, exhume the past, and somehow find out what's controlling you and deal with it. No, it's more than that. It's learning how to trust in a sovereign God and learning how to forgive. And learning how to forget, and learning how to trust God to make things new in your life, even though you may have had a horrible past. And then we also find that sometimes we try to change our environment by works or by being better. And I've known those, and I've talked with those who said, "Well, you know, I try to come to church more. I try to give more money in the offering plate. I try to memorize scripture. I try to be good and live by all the rules, and I'm just, you know, it just doesn't work for me." And Paul says, "I know exactly what you mean. Because I, too, was at one moment a Dr. Jekyll and a Mr. Hyde. You know, I drank the deadly potion. One day I was a bookkeeper and a very gentle, pleasant person. And the next moment I'm this horrible man. I'm bad and I'm good. I'm wrestling with all of this." And he says, "Why is it that I do the things I don't want to do and I can't seem to do the things I want to do? Why is it that I do the things I don't want to do and I can't seem to do the things I don't want to do?" And I'm very honest here, Paul says. I've tried this. I've tried all the rules, all the regulations. I was a church-going person. I went to all these meetings and all these events, and I can't seem to do it. It's not knowledge, technology, or anything. You know, if Dr. Phil was in the time of the Apostle Paul, he probably would have said to Paul, "How's it going for you?" And Paul would have said, "Not too well." In fact, he would have said, "Not too well at all." I want you to notice William Barclay's translation of this, if you will. He says, "My own actions are a mystery to me. What I do is not what I want to do, but what I hate doing. The fact is that it's not I who do it. It is the sin which has its home in me. I am well aware that as far as my lower nature goes, nothing good has its home in me." Notice that. Nothing good has its home in me. In other words, there's this parasitic power that destroys me, and no matter how hard I work, how hard I try, I cannot deal with it. And Paul comes to this verse in chapter 7, verse 24, where he says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And the very simple truth is this: I cannot change who I am. Because sin is this parasitic power that operates within me, that controls me, that directs me, that dictates to me my actions. It controls who I am. And if I'm honest with me, I am a little bit like Wreck-It Ralph. I want to be good, but I can't, because in my own heart, I find myself to be bad. Because Paul says, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen far short of the glory of God. So here's the question that I have for you this morning. And the question that I have for myself: where do I begin? Where do I begin my change? How do I escape my badness? How do I escape the lies that I have been told? How do I deal with this plight of my human life where I try to be good and I can't be good? And I tried all these other things and I come up a dead-end street. How do I become good? Very simply, I need to admit that I am the problem. I don't need to admit that I have a problem. I need to admit that I am the problem. And Paul says, what does he say again? He says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And he says, "O wretched man," the word there is miserable. "O miserable man that I am." And it actually has a connotation, is that I've worked and I've worked and I've worked and I've worked, and I've exhausted myself from all my hard labor. I've tried this, I've tried that. If you read the book of Galatians, Paul will says, "I've tried all the rules of righteousness. I've tried all the things that people tell me to do. I do all the things that I'm supposed to do, I think I'm supposed to do, and I still find myself in the same predicament. I've worked and I've worked and I've worked, and I've exhausted myself from trying to change myself, and I cannot do it. I cannot be the person I want to be. I need to admit that I am the problem." But here's the good news this morning for every one of us. I can't change myself, but God can. I cannot change myself, but God can. I do not have to remain in sin any longer. I do not have to remain the person that I am, you know, in my badness. I can change. And here's the dilemma that we have this morning, and it's this. I think that our culture has gotten to a point, and we get to a point in our own lives, I get there, you get there, where we struggle and we struggle and we struggle and we struggle to try to overcome our badness, and we can't overcome our badness, so what do? We normalize it. The sin becomes the norm, the glitch becomes the ordinary and the norm, and so I begin to celebrate my badness and say, "I'm good, and that's okay, I'll live with it." So that rather than deal with our badness and deal with the sin in our own human heart, what is it that we do? We normalize it, and we do not allow Jesus Christ to change us. So the glitch becomes the norm, and Paul says what? "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" And he found the answer. If you look at chapter 7, verse 24 and 25, and verse 8 of chapter, verse 3 of chapter 8, he says, "Who will deliver me? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free." I mean, what the flesh, the law could not do, what all the works could not do, what therapy could not do, what changing the environment could not do, Jesus Christ did. Isn't that good news? I cannot change who I am. I cannot escape my badness, but Jesus Christ can make me a new person. You see, I wonder what your story is this morning. I wonder what your resume is. And I look at the Word of God and I find here that there's a book that tells me hundreds of different stories that tells me about people who've had life changes and who have been made new in Jesus Christ. You know, I got to thinking of some of those, and I went back to the book of Exodus and I read about the story of Moses. And we all know the story of Moses. I mean, here was a self-assured, cocky, arrogant little boy who was raised in Pharaoh's household, but his real identity was a Jew. He was an Israelite. One day he discovered that, but he still had problems with it, and he ends up killing an Egyptian soldier. He goes on the run. He spends 40 years on the backside of a desert. But when you read the book of Exodus, you'll discover that Moses, down deep in his own heart, was eventually changed by the power of God in his life. Now think about this woman in John chapter 4 who was a can. And we can choose him this morning by his power and by his grace. He can set the sinner free. He can set the addicted free. He can set the person who's bound free. He can make us free, he can make us new, and he can deliver us. You won't be just a good guy like Wreck-It Ralph. You'll be totally righteous through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the whole story of the Word of God. And all we need to do is to put our trust in the living Lord and to come to him. Somebody once said this, you know, well, I don't believe this Christianity stuff. I've tried it before, and it doesn't work. Now, like what one person once said, it's not that Christianity has been tried and found wanting. It's the fact that it hasn't been tried. I want to say it's the fact that Jesus Christ hasn't been tried. We really don't believe in his power and his grace to come in and to make all things new. But every one of us are facing something much bigger than a video game. We're facing life. We're facing life. And we're facing the dilemmas of our own human heart. It's a very simple message this morning is this, that we can't mess with the program. Yes, we can mess with the program. Because Jesus Christ has already messed with the program. It says that, you know, I've got there, the world may tell us we can't mess with the program, but while we can't change who we are, Jesus can. Because what does the Bible say? 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any person be in Christ, he's a what? New creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. Charles Wesley once says, he breaks the power of canceled sin and he sets the sinner free. Isn't that great news? You know, I look at my life and maybe you look at your life and we come to church every Sunday and we deal with the dilemmas of our own human heart and we deal with the badness of our own human heart and we're saying, God, why is it that I come to church and I worship and I walk out of here and I continue to be like Paul, I do the same things I don't want to do. It just irritates me to no end and I've worked until I'm miserable, I'm wretched, I'm exhausted, I can't do it any longer. Very simple question, when will we believe in the power of Christ to change our human heart, to reach deep down within, to change who we are, to help us to become a new person in him? Precious Lord, today we come. And I would pray that you would take this very simple message, these very rambled words, and that you'd help us to understand that you love us, that you've accepted us in the beloved. And sometimes, Lord Jesus, we wrestle with things in our own human life. Well, we can always think of someone else with whom we wrestle. We think of who wrestles with things in their lives, but we wrestle with things in our own human heart. And Lord, we're saying with the Apostle Paul, you know, why is it, Lord, that I continue to do, well, Lord, we're working at our salvation. Yes, we are. But Father, I pray today that the power of Christ would be so evident in this place that you'd come down and you would break the power of canceled sin, that you would break the badness, that we would not celebrate it, that we would not accept it, that we would not say, well, that's just the way I am, that we would realize today that there can be a complete turnaround, that you can make us new creations in Christ. Father, I pray if there's someone here this morning who just needs to pray or just needs to meditate or just needs to pause or have someone pray with them, Lord, I pray that we would do that today. We're a body. We love one another. And we all trip and we all stumble and we all fall and we all have our frailties. We're all in the same boat. So, Lord, let your power be seen. Let your power be known. And help us to know freedom as we walk out of here. And we'll give you the praise with a song in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.